you're going through the book of John, looking at the claims of Jesus. When he was here on earth, he went around claiming, I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, and so on. And today we're going to be looking at, I am the light of the world, his claim that he is the light of the world. If you're new, my name is Jobin, and I'm part of the leadership team here. We are in John chapter 8 today, if you want to open your Bibles with me. And we'll be looking at scripture from verse 12 till the end of the passage, of the chapter. Little bit of the background. Alid was sharing about Jesus being the bread of life. At that time, he was in Galilee. That's like the north part of the region where Jesus spent most of his life. And now, after that, he has now come to Jerusalem. He's come south to be a part of a Jewish festival. And there, he's not having a nice time. Just before this, the religious leaders sent police to arrest him, and he evades. And so it's pretty confrontational. And you think about teachers or gurus or social influencers, leaders, you would think, oh, people are this teacher standing there teaching and everyone's listening. But here it's, people aren't happy with what they're listening from Jesus, or what they're hearing from Jesus. And yeah, we're going to be looking at a bit of why that is. And I have this slide from, or this question from Alec last week. Who is Jesus? Why is that he got in trouble so often? Trouble with the people around him. And if he was only saying good things, like love your enemies, if someone slaps you, show the other cheek. Oh, that's good teaching, everyone's happy. Oh, that's kindness, that's mercy. We need more of that in the world. That's not what got him in trouble. It's what he claimed who he was. And we're going to be looking at some of them in chapter 8. For example, in verse 14, he says, I know where I came from and where I'm going. He goes on to say, it is not I alone who judge, in verse 16, but I and the Father who sent me. He's basically saying, making him equal to the Father and saying, I judge with the Father. Who can judge but God? In verse 23, he goes on to say, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I'm not of this world. Then in verse 46, he goes on to say, which one of you convicts me of sin? He's absolutely sure of his holiness. So he was singing, the Holy One, we worship the Holy One. He was absolutely sure of this, and he goes and publicly asking, which one of you convicts me of sin? And finally, in verse 58, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And hearing this, the people pick up stones to kill him, to stone him to death. And he evades them. He goes into the crowd, and it is not his time yet. And he's basically saying, I am. He's making himself equal to God again, as Alan was sharing last week. If I were to go around making these statements, you would say I'm a bit off in my head. Something is loose there. Oh, if, like Jesus, he's a good teacher. He says a lot of good things. If he says some of these things, you have the option of thinking, maybe you can neglect those things. You don't have to care about those things he says. Just take what fits you, the good things that you want to learn from him, and so on. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He's absolutely clear of that. In verse 28, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. Basically, he's saying, whatever I've said, all the claims that I've made, you will know these are true when I have been lifted up. And that happened at the cross. We put him at the cross, but the cross couldn't hold him. And he defeated death. He came back to life, declaring that he is what he said to be. So what is he saying? Then you will know that I am he. What does he want us to know? In this particular passage, in this conversation that Jesus is having with the Jewish people, this is what he says in verse 12. This is how the passage today begins. In verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Basically saying, he is the one who gives light to the world, not just to the Jewish people, not just to the people who read Bible, or people who are just religious, or just the religious. He is the light of the world. When we first moved to Sweden, it was the winter, like November, December. We were wondering, what's wrong with this? And then we read in the news, we just had 8 hours of sunlight the whole month of November and that year. And then one fine day, the sun comes out, and oh, now we know what's wrong with us. The sun comes and changes everything. That's what basically Jesus is saying. He comes into the world as the light of the world, and everything is different. Everything is different. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Throughout the ages, everywhere around the world, you would see, for example, good religious teachers. They say good things. You would find wise men and women saying good things. In our age, we have a ton of social influencers, Instagram, YouTube, you find them everywhere. And everyone's trying to say, oh, I found light here. This might help you. Oh, this might be good for you. Why don't you try this? Oh, look at me. This is the light I found, and so on. That's the bottom line for most of them. And for most part, what they're doing is trying to do this. Shine a torch. Light around and show, this is what I found, this is the light I have, but that's it. It's a light, it can light a bit, but what is this compared to the sun? Is this anything? Can you see a torchlight here? No, because the sun is much brighter. And that's what Jesus is claiming to be. He is claiming to be the light of the world. Everything is different because he's the light of the world. The darkness cannot stay. Darkness cannot stay when he's there. And when Jesus came into the world, he said, I'm coming with the light. And this light is the light of man, life of man. As his followers, as he invites us to follow him, he's inviting us to step away from the darkness. All the darkness, darkness in the world, darkness in ourselves, and to follow him. He gives us a choice. Step out of your darkness, follow me, I am the light of the world. And so saying that he is the light of the world, he makes some bold statements, inviting us to follow him. In verse 24, he goes on to say, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Say, this is the darkness in you. He calls it by name. It's sin. Man has been trying to solve the darkness in him throughout ages, everywhere. But Jesus says, He is the light of the world. I am the one who removes your darkness. And the only way to do it, to do that is believe in me. It's not a 7-step program. It's not a half an hour meditation. But it's believing in him. I sometimes look on, listen to podcasts and look around what's happening or what's trending and see. And recently I was surprised to hear this self-help or self-improvement genre of podcasts. And there are quite many of them out there. A lot of them say good stuff. And there's this one by a neuroscientist at Stanford, and he kind of made a statement that created waves because he's supposed to be a scientist. He went on a podcast saying, "Oh, since last year, prayer has been part of my morning ritual, and part of my prayer includes this prayer for myself, where I pray to this higher power that my defects would be changed, would be removed, and so on." So in a way, you would see everyone recognizing that there's something wrong in us, in our character, the defects, and so on, that at some point you find you are incapable of handling it yourself, things you aren't able to fix on your own, and then here it is, smart people like a neuroscientist at Stanford going on record saying, "I find this helpful if I pray, or if I pray to this higher power, my defect is removed, that my defect is fixed." That's what basically Jesus is saying. You are in your sins. You would die in your sins unless you believe in me, that you believe that I am he. I am the light of the world. He's the one who comes into your darkness, into our darkness, fixes them, because he's the light. When the light comes, the darkness cannot stay. And the people that Jesus calls to follow. In verse 31, we see a group of Jews. They believe in him, hearing him saying, "I am the light of the world." He calls unto them. 31, he says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Where do we find light? It's in his word. His word, his truth. That's where we find the light in our darkness. And as disciples, as followers, Jesus calls us to abide in his word. And he says, by abiding in his word, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Can I encourage you to think for a moment, what's your relationship with the word of God? Are you abiding in the word? Is the word setting you free? Are you knowing the truth from the word? Abide in the word. Saturate yourself with the word. Fill yourself with the word. It's not a verse, reading a verse before going to bed or once in a week or so. He calls us to abide in it. Fill ourselves with the word of God. Jesus, when he promised the Holy Spirit, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he would remind us of Jesus' words and lead us into all truth. That's a beautiful promise we have, a promise to hold on. Are you enjoying this promise that the Spirit would lead you through all the truth that will set you free? The truth of life. Jesus is quite clear here. We can either follow him the light of the world or not. And there's no neutral ground here. C.S. Lewis, he happened to say this: there's no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Jesus, while he was talking to these Jewish people, he told of devil like this in verse 44. He says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's who he is. And that's the reality of the life we live here. He brings lies into our lives. He brings them to destroy us, to take out the truth from our lives, to take out joy out of lives, to take out life, to bring in death and destruction. He brings in these lies. How do you live? Bring in the light, bring in the word, abide in the word, the truth shall set you free. That's our weapon. There's no neutral ground. The word of God, the light of the world, you can either fill us with it, or let the devil fill us with the lies. But we, as followers of Jesus, we choose to abide in God's word, fill us with his light. I'm going to wind up there, but leave this with you. We have the option of choosing Jesus, not just his teachings, the good ones. Love your neighbor, or love your enemies. Those are all nice ones. They are all part of the package, but we get to know Jesus, the Creator, know him as he is, follow him, the light of the world. I want to invite you, where is your relationship with Jesus? Do you see him as a good teacher, a good person to follow? But do you pick and choose on what you would like to do with Jesus? But Jesus doesn't give us that option. He's absolute. He says, I am the light of the world, the only option for you to get out of darkness. And if you haven't had that experience of Jesus coming in with his light, I would invite you, as Jesus said, believe in him and you will find life. At that cross, when Jesus went to the cross, he went through all darkness that we deserved, or we were responsible for. We had to go through. He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was in the darkness. We don't have to go through that anymore, because he went through that. And he is the light today. And if you already see yourself as a follower of Jesus, can I encourage you, friends, abide in the word. Rest in his word. Fill yourself with the word of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you, lead you each day. That's an amazing privilege we have, and the short life we have, to experience God's presence and enjoy his truth. Don't let the lies of the devil feed your mind. Don't let that shape your opinion and thoughts. So let it be the word of God that brings you joy, sets you free. And don't miss out this great privilege of having the light of the world and not the torch of whatever lead your life. We have the amazing privilege of having the light of the world in our lives. Let that lead us. Would you come over, Alvin and team, as we Look, Lord, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. Can I invite you to stand as we go into worship this light of the world, this Jesus who is like no one? Our Lord, our risen King, the light of the world, we worship you. There is none like you. In our darkness, we seek you. If you hadn't come, we would have died in our sins. But here you are. As the risen King, as the light of the world, and we welcome you. We ask that it's only your word that fills us and overflows in us, that we abide in your word, and that the truth shall set us free. There's nothing else in which we set our hope, and it's you and your word. Lead us into all your truth. Break our chains. Light our darkness, O light of the world.